Item number eight, which is implementation, the Wooton Floodplain Management Plan. This is a briefing. So, turn it over to Mark and Dave. Terry?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and we're getting the presentation set up.
Is that you, Joe? Is that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As we're ready to move into the Wooton Floodplain presentation, I indicated to the folks that are here to present I would kick us off with a brief introduction. I'm happy to do that. So we have Mark Grandstaff, Dave Carl, and Kerry Dingman here today to talk to us about implementation of the Wooton Floodplain Management Plan on the Toucannon Wildlife Area. It's really a good segue as you hear Chris talk about the status of the Toucannon and Chinook populations and work going on in the Toucannon system to improve habitats. This is a really nice segue to this discussion. So I first got really interested in this project as we were having cross-program discussions about extremely successful ongoing work in coordination with Snake River Salmon Recovery Board activities with the assistance of BPA funding and with the work of the Department of Fish and Wildlife in coordination with the Forest Service, putting all of that together into large wood projects in the Toucannon River. And we're going to hear about the large wood component of the Wooton floodplain. But as we were having those discussions, it was obvious that to some extent we had missed some of our cross-program dialogues. And so large wood projects and returning the ability of the stream to meander and creating new habitats and side channels, how would that work impact campgrounds on the Wooton Wildlife Area, where campgrounds had long historically been placed in the riparian and in the floodplain? And were we having the conversations between habitat staff and wildlife area staff relative to the status of campground X, Y, or Z? And given that, were we also talking with the hatchery folks about the status of water supply for the Toucannon hatchery and the timing of our activities and operations so that we were having consistent and reliable water supply and not creating challenges for the hatchery? So I really challenged the district team to get together habitat, wildlife, fish, and enforcement programs and bring together a comprehensive look at what it was that we were attempting to do within the Toucannon, and specifically focusing on the department's ownership, which is more than 17 miles of Toucannon River on the Wooton Wildlife Area. I also gave them a further challenge and said I wanted it done in less than 10 months. Because the comprehensive plan would be an ideal opportunity to plug this into a capital budget request. And we were hoping to be able to move that for the first time forward in 2013-15. And damn if they didn't do it. And it's been a pleasure to work with the district team on this project. And it's a real pleasure to have Mark, Dave, and Kerry here today to kick it off and tell you about it. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Steve. I'm Mark Grandstaff. I'm the Assistant Habitat Program Manager.
So the W.T. Wooton Wildlife Area is it's a very popular wildlife area in Southeast Washington. It's used by over 100,000 visitors a year, and it's very popular. The Wooton floodplain, like Steve mentioned, was a cross-program effort from. We had enforcement, fisheries management, habitat management, and wildlife management staff, and the land managers, part of the wildlife program, trying to come up with a solution to how we can manage our lands better on land, on the landscape, and fit it in with all the other efforts that are going on in the Toucannon River for habitat restoration. So this map shows the wildlife area in yellow. It's a long, skinny area cutting through the Forest Service in the green, and is surrounded by private lands in the gray, I guess it is. And at the very, towards the very end of that, to the south, is the Camp Wooten Environmental Learning Center, which is a leased to Washington State Parks, and it's used by a lot of people. It's a generational thing that people, their kids go there, their grandkids go there, you know, their parents, grandparents, kids, everybody. A lot of people use that area. So we're very, very cognizant of that. So the floodplain management plan, the goals of the floodplain management plan are, they fit in with our department mission, which is to preserve, protect, perpetuate fish and wildlife habitats and the associated commercial and recreational activities. And so everything that we did was in line with that. It was to protect the habitat, improve the recreational experience, protect critical infrastructure, and then also fit in with the other work that's being done that you'll hear from later on the habitat restoration in the Toucan River. So the floodplain management plan focuses on the Toucan and Lakes, focuses on enhancing the Toucan and Lakes for recreation and some other things too. We wanted to make sure that most of our lakes were constructed in the 50s, so we had dams that were didn't meet current dam safety requirements. We had infrastructure we wanted to protect. A lot of our lakes had been silting in since the 50s, so they didn't have the capacity that they used to have. So we wanted to focus on water quality. We focused on recreation, floodplain habitat, because most of these lakes constrict the floodplain. So we wanted to get them out of the floodplain and get them deeper in the water table so that they were getting groundwater rather than relying on surface water diversions that are a problem because you have to maintain them. And also wanted to protect critical infrastructure. We have a hatchery, we have roads, we have bridges, culverts, buildings. One of the things that we wanted to accomplish through this is to replace or bury the power line that runs from the hatchery up to Camp Wooten. That was the cause of the 2005 school fire. So if we could get that buried, then we get rid of that risk to fire. And we also can have better riparian management because the REA doesn't have to come in and cut down the riparian vegetation as it runs through the valley. Okay, I'm going to go back. Well, we'll just continue. This is, you want to hit? Okay. So,
hit the lakes. Kind of hit that one already.
Okay, yeah. Kind of muddled those two together. So this is a conceptual plan. It's pretty much the plan that we're going with right now. And Rainbow Lake is a hatchery water supply. And it's very important for emergency water supply. So when the river is either very low and can't get the water, or it's iced up, the diversion's iced up, then the hatchery staff can begin drawing off the lake to maintain those waters. So the things that we wanted to do were to extend the lake, make it longer, deeper, narrower, and to move it out of the floodplain. The other thing another big part of the project was be to construct a settling basin so that we didn't have the river water bringing silt in and end up having to maintain that. So we wanted to have that settling basin and also pipe the water as it flows into the lake. So one of the things about the Toucan Lakes in general is that they're part of our mitigation plan. They mitigate for loss of trout fisheries on due to the Snake River dams. We have a lot of we have 68,000 angler days per year. There's four real popular lakes, which would be Rainbow, Deer, Spring, and Blue. They account for about 20,000 angler days per year and add about $750,000 into the state's economy. So, get back to where we're here. So, the area that you can see in black is the outline of the dredging that we wanted to do. The area that's in orange to the left side of the screen is a spit that runs pretty much down through the middle of the lake right now. But because the lake's so shallow in the southern portion of that picture, that spit doesn't really add any recreation. There's no fishing over there. And the area is in orange to the on the right side of the drawing is an area in uplands that we want to excavate as we're dredging it out to extend the lake so we have a narrower, deeper lake. As you can kind of see in the bottom of portion of the lake, there's a blue line. That's the dam that wraps around, contains the water. The dam is a leaky dam, which has actually done a couple different things. One's pretty good. It's provided a lot of, or created a lot of wetlands. And that also means that a lot of the wetlands that were created now, we are going to have to mitigate for any impacts that we have on those. So that is how the lake would look as we get it finished. We're going to be pulling that dam from the bottom edge of the picture up to the new alignment and extending the lake further to the southeast, I guess it is. So we talked about the leaky dam. What these areas in light green are the existing wetlands that we have. It's all associated with leaky dams. So what we have to get this dam so that they don't leak. So what we propose to do is to create, when we remove the dam, we're going to leave about the bottom foot of the existing dam to act as a to allow us to build some cells for water to flow through there. That's what you see in the pink and blue would be new created wetlands in the area that's existing lake right now. So in order to do that, we have to have a couple of different areas where we're going to be putting controlled water into those wetlands, and that will be that's part of our mitigation plan. And hopefully we're going to end up with a net surplus of wetlands that we can use as mitigation banking for some of the other lakes that we would do later on, which don't really have the opportunities that this one does. Well, this is our timeline for construction. In 2017, we hope to begin dredging. And then in 2018, we'll be moving the dam and constructing a new dam and finishing up with our wetland mitigation. So there are going to be temporary impacts. Rainbow Lake was closed as of the end of Memorial Day. And the road to Rainbow Lake and the road to Deer Lake, the same road, but to Deer Lake will be closed. Deer Lake will remain open during the time that we're in construction, but we just don't want them accessing the road where we have equipment operating. So they're going to have to, people that want to fish deer are going to have to wade the river or find other, come down from the top end somehow. We plant 6,800 catchable rainbow trout and 2,700 jumbo rainbow trouts in all the lakes in the Toucanon. So there'd be ample opportunity for a lot of recreation up there, even though that we're disturbing people's favorite lakes sometimes. And the Rainbow Lake Road in the campground will be closed, like I said. Did we miss one? Nope. Nope. I thought we had another one in there. Well, we had, like Steve mentioned, we developed our floodplain management plan. It was first published in 2012. We've got our first capital budget $500,000 in 2013-2015, and oh, there it goes. yeah, so we had 2013-2015, we got $500,000. In 2015-17, we got $2.1 million in combined capital and lower snake comp money from the federal government. And then we're hoping that we continue that in 2017-19 with another $1 million. It's in the currently in the House, Senate, and governor's budget, but we all know that nothing's final until it's done. Now Dave's going to take them.
Okay. Hi, I'm Dave Carl. I'm a habitat bio here in Region 1, and I'm going to talk about stream restoration in the Toucanon River. Sorry, that's loud. So how do you do this? Okay, so this diagram is a quick synopsis of how we identified our limiting factors and restoration objectives for the Toucanon. 2004-2005, over a decade ago, we did sub-basin planning and salmon recovery plans. In 2011, a geomorphic assessment was done for the entire Toucanon River, and subsequently, we developed a conceptual restoration plan, which includes 49 projects. They're all reach-long projects, like a mile or two type projects. All those things pointed to the same limiting factors, and floodplain connectivity and channel complexity cover a large range of things. And so I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about all of the things that are encompassed or influenced by floodplain connectivity and channel complexity. They influence physical, chemical, and biological things. So physical, like channel shape, water temperatures, things like that. Chemical, the availability of dissolved oxygen, nutrient cycling, and biological is the obvious. It's algae, fish, bugs, all the stuff that it supports. So our plan is that we address those limiting factors by doing restorations towards ecological processes, and then we give it time and stewardship. The river does the lion's share of the work here. We kind of give it its ingredients, and the river does the rest. And eventually, over time, we believe that we achieve natural function, where you don't have to do restoration anymore. The river just on its own. All these projects have been funded by BPA, Toucanon Programmatic Habitat Project, state RCO funding, surfboard funding, and the Umatilla Tribe. We have a lot of partners here, and I can't emphasize how much this complements the floodplain management plan that we're doing. So increasing large wood actually does it all. It creates channel complexity, and it reconnects floodplain. We also do setback levees and remove levees as part of this process to open up floodplain. Realistically, wood does just so many things in the river. We, in 2006, we really started this in earnest after the school fire. And at that time, there was probably just a handful of log jams in the Toucan River on the Wooten Wildlife Area. I'm going to cover some photos of some of the restoration that's been completed and just how they affect these limiting factors. Channel complexity, log jams, basically scour pools, create new channels, build up gravel bars, channel shape, like I said, it does it all. These are some pictures from the Toucan after restoration. So the Toucan River on the Wooten Wildlife Area has 17 miles of river on the Wooten Wildlife Area. And to date, 9 miles have been treated with really over 350 structures and 3,000 key pieces. The key pieces are the large trees that you see, the large logs. We also add additional small trees and racking as part of our restoration efforts, and they eventually find themselves into the log jams. So another thing that these large wood complexes do is they build up gravel, and the gravel buildup then forces flows out into the floodplain and adjacent habitats that are highly critical for juvenile simonids. These are the areas during the spring runoff when these fish emerge that they use. It's warmer water. There's more food. So when we have a disconnected river, we lose these habitats, and it's very hard on juvenile fish. So to date, more than 10 miles of this has been created on the Wooten Wildlife Area. I say that because a lot of the work that is done, if we haven't done any work upstream, we have a real positive effect upstream over time. So we don't even have to add more wood in some of these areas, and we reconnect floodplain. So a secondary outcome of floodplain reconnection is reconnecting side channels that exist on the landscape. So these are old channels or channel scars from past floods that exist out there, and they're just disconnected from the river. This shows Project 14 before restoration, and those pink lines are the outfall from the Toucan and Hatchery and the outfall from Blue Lake. And then you can see after we restored large wood to this reach, the green is perennial stream channel or side channel. The yellow are high flow side channels. And this is an old slide. We had channel forming flows for the first time in 9 years this past season. So this is increased by probably double. So, and then the photos down below show you just examples of the type of habitat that I'm talking about that before this we're just sitting out there high and dry. So this is a photograph of what we consider the Chinook domain in the Toucana River, and I wanted to show this slide because I wanted to acknowledge our partners. We have a lot of partners: the Nez Perce Tribe, the Umatilla Tribe, Snake River Sam Recovery Board, the local conservation districts. We're all working together to do this work. And the red is, this is a 30-mile reach, and the red are completed projects. The yellow are projects slated for construction this year, and the green are future planned projects. And I just wanted to show the extent of work done on the Wooten Wildlife Area. That's really rough. I tried to put that on top of that. But you can see we've done quite a bit of work, and we have more work planned. So just real quick about some future projects. This year we're doing 2 restoration projects over 3 miles of stream. One is sponsored by the Umatilla Tribe, Chris Fisher, and one is sponsored by us. We're sharing helicopters as part of this project. and both of them also have ground-based equipment restoration or construction. And the other project that I have here, Project 13, is in design right now. And it, I just wanted to point that out. We're planning for construction in 2018. But this is the reach of the Toucan River adjacent to Rainbow Lake. So the work that they're doing with the lake of removing it from the floodplain, this project will then reconnect the river to the floodplain.
You sure?
Can I ask a quick question?
Absolutely.
Where does the large wood come from?
Well, we have a combination of local vendors, and we've really been surprised that we get some wood from some distances too. 2 years ago, I had a vendor from Entiat bring wood for the project, and this year I have one out of Le Grand. But mostly local vendors. It surprised us because we figured that the transportation cost, as far as bidding, would keep it more local. But that's been our experience so far.
Hi, my name is Carrie Dingman. I'm the Assistant Wildlife Area Manager on the Blue Mountains Wildlife Areas Complex, but I'm stationed on the Wooten Wildlife Area, so that's where my office is. I'm going to talk about some of the campground improvement stuff today. So, like they were saying, in the 2013-2015 biennium, we got $500,000 of capital projects funding, and it was earmarked to move the last two campgrounds away from the river. Several of the campgrounds had been moved away from the river following the 2005 school fire and the subsequent salvage logging project from 2006. So we had two campgrounds left that were right in the riparian area, destroying the river habitat. So we used the $500,000 and we closed those two campgrounds and we constructed three new campgrounds. It's hard to see in the map, but the blue and the yellow are the two that we closed. And then there's a pink one, a green one, and there's a purple one in the middle are the new campgrounds that we constructed, and we actually increased the number of designated camping sites total overall with the construction of the three new campgrounds. And these are pictures of the three new campgrounds that were constructed. So as of now, all of our campgrounds are out of the floodplain and away from the riparian habitat and the river. We would like to remodel the existing Campground 3, which is adjacent to Rainbow Lake. That's the corner of the new Rainbow Lake. Currently, that campground gets a lot of heavy use, but it's got one driveway in, and then it's got some dead-end driveways with some little dead-end camping spots, which a lot of people like, but it's hard for large RVs and campers to get in there because if they go in on a busy weekend and it's full, there's nowhere to turn around and get back out. A lot of the campers will park at the hatchery and walk in to see if there's a spot before they drive in, just in case. So what we would like to do is build a loop driveway through the campground with campsites off of it, so people can pull through. If it is full, they can continue around the loop and back out. Make it easier access. It would also be easier for enforcement. We have some illegal activity that occurs in those little dead-end campsites that are a little harder to patrol. And then we would also like to replace our old fiberglass outhouses with the new ADA-accessible concrete vault toilets. There's currently two of those fiberglass outhouses in Campground 3, and neither of them are ADA-accessible. We did apply for an RCO grant in 2016, but we did not score high enough on the list to be funded at this time, so we're exploring other options to get that funded. And then for public involvement, we've been holding a lot of public meetings. We've been holding public meetings twice a year for the floodplain management plan to give the public an opportunity to participate in our planning and to provide feedback. We're holding a meeting in Dayton and in the Tri-Cities, but we were having such a low turnout in Dayton that this last spring we held one in Walla Walla to see if we could get more people to attend. We don't have great turnout at our meetings, but we do have some of the public that's, they want to come, they come, they participate, and they give us very valuable feedback. We're just trying to figure out how to get more of them to come and provide the feedback. We do have an interested parties email list that we give everyone the chance to, or the opportunity to sign up for. And I send out quarterly newsletters. I send out meeting announcements about our public meetings. I send out summaries from the public meetings of the presentation we gave and any questions that were asked with any follow-up. I've also been hanging flyers with all the important information that we're trying to get out. I have a kiosk in every campground that I hang them on. And then the Last Resort KOA is right there in the middle, kind of in the middle of the Wooten Wildlife Area, and they're kind of the hub of activity, so I hang flyers there. And actually, with the Rainbow Lake closure, we taped a flyer in every single outhouse, so there's flyers everywhere on the Toucannon right now. We developed a short five-question questionnaire that the public can fill out to provide us feedback as to what they'd like to see. We've been passing them out at the public meetings. There's a stack of them at the Last Resort KOA, so anybody that goes in has the opportunity to fill one out, and they're collecting them for me. We actually were able to get a volunteer this past weekend that was there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and walked around all the lakes asking people if they'd like to fill it out. He got 207 questionnaires filled out for us, so we're getting a fairly decent sample size and seeing what the public wants. And then I also put together a booth at the Columbia County Fair in Dayton to try to get the information about what we've done, what we're planning to do, why we're doing it. And then I've been manning the booth so that I can answer any questions that the public has at the fair. In 2016, the Snake River Salmon Recovery Board and other participating agencies put together an outreach event on the Toucannon. It was actually held at the Toucannon Forest Service Guard Station. And then we invited all the local landowners. We had posters around highlighting all of the projects, all of the work that's being done, all the work that has been done, and some potential work that we would like to do. We had a nice barbecue meal, fed everybody, and the landowners had a chance to talk with the agencies, ask questions, give feedback. We had a really good turnout, and we had a lot of really good interaction with the private landowners, so I think it was very successful. We're currently in the process of planning another outreach event for this coming fall and do the same thing. And they've also discussed, some of the groups that are doing projects, the large wood projects, have discussed inviting landowners out a few at a time to see the actual on-the-ground project and get feedback and answer questions, to get everybody involved. This is the slide that makes me famous at all the public meetings. That's got my email address. And anyone that wants the... Yeah, usually my phone number and everything else is on it too. So, but anybody that would like the Wooten Floodplain Management Plan updates is encouraged to email us at that email address, and I will add you to the list. And then we have public meetings. We're going to have public meetings this fall, one in the Tri-Cities and probably one in Walla Walla. We haven't set dates yet. We're kind of waiting to see how Rainbow Lake goes, and so we can time it to where we can show people, look, this is what we did this year.
Yeah, that outreach, the barbecue that we had was really great because it was low-key. You know, the Umatilla tribe, the Nez Perce tribe were there. They had elders there. It was just a great conversation. Like I said, we weren't cramming science down their throat. We were just, you know, taking questions and kick back, having some good food.
And then I think that's all we have, so we'd be happy to answer questions.
Have any questions? Again, another very interesting presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.